I've enjoyed having the time to be in the pew and listen to Tanner. I'm thankful for him and him being able to take a month and walk through the book of Habakkuk. Learned a lot, made a lot of notes, and enjoyed him having the opportunity and me having the opportunity to kind of, again, sit in the pew and listen, be ministered to in that capacity. And today, I told him, I said, it's something else. You preach four times, and you got to have some time to recover. I swear, run and hide. But no, seriously, I picked at him to try to help him laugh a little bit. Cassie and he and Cassie received some bad news yesterday, dealing with Cassie's grandmother. And so they left last night, or she went last night on their way back from Atlanta, Albany. He had preached a wedding, and he's coming back, and he took her through Alabaster, dropped her off, came home, took care of the things that they needed to get done here at home, and then went back up this morning with her early to spend the day with her grandmother. And so we want to be lifting that family in our prayers, and that God would just make himself known in a mighty way. Her grandmother has some health issues, and has chosen to see Jesus. So that's where they are this morning. And I told him, I said, your church loves you, just praying for you, buddy. You do what you need to do, take care of your wife. And we'll take care, we'll hold the wheels on the wagon till you get back. And so thankful for that. Ms. Trish, great to see you this morning. It is awesome to see you here this morning. It's great to see all of you. Anyway, I'm glad to be back. As you can tell, I'm up here just trying to figure out how I'm going to get into this thing. And man, you don't know what you miss until you get to come back. But we're going to start today in the book of Hebrews. It's a great book. I love it. I pray that you will too by the end of this. If you don't already, there's a lot of mystery surrounding the book of Hebrews. And really, it's in our flesh is this mystery. The truth is part of the holy, infallible Word of God is breathed out by God Himself and given to us, penned by man. I believe Paul. I'm settled as this Paul, but there's discussion around who's the author, who's the audience, and even the historical position in time. But nonetheless, all of that kind of falls to the wayside as we read of His power in helping us know who Christ is through the fulfilling of prophecies from the Old Testament and how He is superior in all ways over angels, over everything, and that He is the preeminent Christ, okay? And so we're going to walk through the book of Hebrews. There's going to be different things that are addressed. Obviously, there is a lot of Old Testament prophecy that is pointed out as being fulfilled in Christ as it is. And there is interest in angels in the context of our recipients, and the author addresses that. We're not going to get there today, but he walks through all of these things, and faith in Hebrews 11, and running the race in Hebrews 12, the great high priest of Hebrews 4. I mean, it's just so saturated with gospel truth and the preeminence of Christ that this is one of the weightiest books, in my opinion, are certainly one of the weightiest epistles that you'll encounter. And so I'm excited to get there. I hope that you are too. And because of that, we're just going to dive right in. All right? Ready? Ready, set, go? All right. If you're able to, if you would, please stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I am going to read verses 1 through 4. We'll kind of stop there at 3 because 4 begins to address angels. We won't get to there today, but we'll read verse 4 because it's in the midst of today's context. Any of you brokenhearted that I don't have the outline in the? A couple? Okay. All right, Louie, you got friends. You got friends. I got a gentle rebuke downstairs. Louie, help me understand. Someone asked me for my preaching notes, so you can get those if you'd like them. I'll make you copies, all right? And you can get them, and then next week I'll figure out something. I want you to have notes, but I don't want to pigeonhole you to my notes. So, but anyway, all right, let's read God's Word. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is a radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Father, I thank you for how the writer of Hebrews wastes no time running to the preeminence of Christ, our Savior, our hope, our Messiah. Lord, I am woefully inadequate of telling of your greatness, your goodness, and your mercy, and your grace, and your love toward us. And trying to paint a picture of the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm reminded, as Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth, that I am just a jar of clay and that the power belongs to you. So I trust for you to do what only you can. I trust in you to reveal your truth. I'm trusting you to bring about life for your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I taught through the book of Hebrews. It's been several years ago now on Wednesday night. And it's probably because it wasn't any good. But I lost the notebook. It's interesting. And so I get to rewrite it. Not that I would have just came up here and told you what I said on Wednesday night several years ago, but it would have liked to have looked and seen like where I was then and maybe see how it got better. But I found a few of the notes that I had written in the scripture, in my copy of the Bible I was using at that point in time to teach through. And some of those things were really interesting to me, and I don't know where my mind was when I wrote some of them. But anyway, as I embraced the challenge before me, God burdened, placed it, encouraged, however you want to say that, that Hebrews was next after Habakkuk and Tanner's conclusion of his sermon series, because I want to run to the beauty that is Christ Jesus. I want to take us to a place where I think it's supremely and perfectly and clearly communicated and not a whole lot of extra around it. So many truths that we can lean into. So as I began to study through, I told Carmen, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not. Don't know where to break it. Don't know where to begin. And then I got really interested in about four words in these first four verses. And that's where I'm going to be at today. So as we read our text, long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, reveals to us the character of Christ in being the supreme prophet. Christ is the supreme prophet. He spoke more clearly and more radiantly than any other prophet of old. Our letter here to the Hebrews identifies the prophets as the means of which God spoke to the fathers. Jesus puts Abel amongst the prophets. When I was curious, I thought, well, who was the first prophet? I go back and start to do some research on this, and we see that in Luke 11, verses 49 through 51, Jesus himself refers to Abel, or lists Abel among prophets. Here's what he writes. Therefore also, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. So we see that Jesus puts Abel in and amongst the prophets. That long ago at many times and in as many ways. We see this as being a couple of thousand years ago. The writer of Hebrews, Paul, would say, God began to speak to our fathers through prophets, men that lived on the earth declaring the word of God to the people of God. Jude, who is the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, adds Enoch as a prophet. Jude 14 refers to him. Enoch's in Genesis 9, toward the conclusion in the lineage of Seth. Jude says this of Enoch. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones. Now, the first to be called a prophet was Abraham, as far as in our biblical chronology. Abraham is the first to be called a prophet in Scripture, though the prior to later identified precede him in time. But in Genesis 20, as Abraham is told of Pharaoh that Sarah is his sister, and we know how the story goes, right? He takes her into the house, and all of a sudden these plagues and these difficulties begin to arise. And so Pharaoh returns Sarah to Abraham and says, what have you brought against me? God speaks on behalf of Abraham in that context, speaks to Pharaoh by saying this, now then, return the man's wife, for he, Abraham, is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. What are the many ways? Well, one comes to mind. It kind of gives me confidence to stand up here this morning. There was a man named Balaam that had a donkey, and the donkey even spoke. So I feel like I'm not in, there you go, y'all are smiling again. I feel I'm not in too bad of a company. A donkey. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. I thought, Lord, if a donkey can speak, please let me, right? And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand and I'd kill you. Donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all of your life up until this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way? And Balaam just responded, no. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, many miraculous ways, God spoke to our fathers. God gave his instruction from men of low rank. He gave his instruction from the mouth of a donkey. But according to our scripture here in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. These last days, the time that we live in, there's no more need for prophets. We are in a new era, under a new era, not error, era, under a new covenant ushered in by Christ Jesus himself. The message has been delivered by the greatest prophet, the Son of God. This is who Jesus is. If we've ever listened to the prophets of old, and even the donkeys, surely to goodness, we can listen to and accept and believe the word that has come out of the very Son of God. Jesus was able to, with great authority, make statements like this in Matthew 5, 21 through 48. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of each of the statements. You have heard it said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intention has already committed adultery in their heart. Again, you have heard it said that of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not return Do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right, turn and give him the other. You have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Christ is a supreme prophet. He spoke the law out of his own authority. He was able to take messages that were delivered of old by the men of old, by the prophets of old, and many times and in many ways, and say this. I say. All of those other prophets of old spoke and said, the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord. But Jesus, as he teaches those that are gathered in crowds listening to him, says, you have heard it said, quotes an Old Testament prophet, but I say to you, exposing the conditions of heart, he spoke with the authority of God from his own mouth in the first person. Christ is the supreme prophet. He is the supreme ruler. He's appointed heir of all things. Now, how is this? How is this? He's the heir apparent because he's the source of all things. Look at your text. He has spoken to us in these last days, this time period that we live in John chapter 4. He tells the woman at the well that the hour is coming and is now here, that you'll neither worship on that mountain nor in Jerusalem. He establishes that these are the last days. He speaks to us as one having authority, and he is the heir. Look at our text, because he is creator, the creator of all things. Heir apparent. Apart from him, nothing was created. Many of you are familiar with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see this? He is the creator. He is the heir of all things. He is the one through whom the whole world was created. Matthew 28, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Note the all authority of this, and obey all that I have commanded you. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, we know it as a Shema. It's a statement that the Israelites would say, or it was instruction that Moses gave them. He said this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today, who's speaking here? God, right? Through Moses, all these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them to your children. You shall talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God says it in Deuteronomy 6, but Jesus says it in Matthew 28. Do you see the supremacy and the rule and authority of God? In the rule of authority in Christ Jesus, one and the same. Christ says, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And where do we get the power to do and to live and to move and to have our being in this? Him, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The superiority of Christ is on full display as a prophet and as a ruler. Christ is the radiance as we continue to walk through. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Let me expand the word radiance for you just a moment. Remember in John 1, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You ready? You got your mind on radiance yet? Daybreak. Dawn. Two words. Ring a bell. You familiar with them? Join us at 5 in the morning. You can see it. Out of darkness, light. Out of complete and utter darkness, a bright light. Listen to it. Christ is the radiance. The moment the light begins to emerge out of darkness. He is the supreme prophet with supreme power. He is the moment that the light of the glory of God enters into God's creation with all authority. He is the daybreak that comes out of darkness. Remember, for 400 years there was silence prior to the birth of Christ Jesus. No prophet in the land. Darkness. And in this moment in time, in the fullness of time, appointed by God, Jesus Christ enters into God's creation and puts the glory of God on full display for all to see. He is the supreme prophet and the supreme ruler. Malachi closed out his final prophecy with this: a messenger will come to prepare a way for the messenger. It's going to tie in so beautifully next week when we get over into angels who are messengers from God or ministers from God, as Jesus being greater than any and all of them. This messenger that was prophesied in Malachi turns out to be John the Baptist, who proclaimed Jesus as Lamb of God who takes away all sin. John 1, the light shines and the darkness can't overcome it. He is the radiance. He is the illumination of God present before mankind. In Isaiah 9:2, the prophecy of the Messiah says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus didn't just come as a representation of the Father or God. He came as God in the flesh, fully revealing. Do you understand all of the Old Testament prophets were pointing to Christ Jesus as Messiah? All of their Davidic worship, all of their kingship psalms, all of these things were pointing to Jesus Christ. All of those things were a veiled, cloudy, hazy, like glass, like a bathroom glass, frosted glass. You can't see fully through. Then Jesus burst on the scene out of utter darkness in full radiance of God, revealing who God the Father is and the salvation that He provides through Jesus Christ the Son. With no questions to be asked. He stands on a mountain and he says, you've heard it say, but I say. You've heard it said, but I say. In the scripture here in Hebrews, the writer says that he is the heir of all things because it was through him who is by him that all things were created. He is superior and supreme over them all. People walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Are you standing in the light? Are you walking in the light? Do you know the light? He is the exact imprint of the nature of God. The exact imprint of the nature of God. There is no clearer revealing of God's nature than that is revealed in Christ Jesus the Son, who is the author and sustainer of all life. He is the authority, the one to whom all glory and honor belong. As Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he closed out with a particular doxology in Romans 11, verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. Who are the from whom, to whom? Or from whom, through whom, and to whom? Christ. Christ Jesus. All things are from him. All things have come into existence through him. And all things are to him. To him be glory forever. Amen. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, closes out his epistle this way: now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through
through Jesus Christ our Lord be glory, who is our Savior. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ the Son, the second person of the Trinity, second person of the Godhead, to Him be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. What did Jude just said? He is the full radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. He is the creator and sustainer of all life. He is the only one that's able to deliver you from death. He is the final word. He is the ultimate disclosure of the character and salvation of God. There's no more prophets needed. The book is sealed in Revelation 22. Why is it sealed? Because Christ revealed all we need to know about God and His character. Just as the writer of Hebrews is saying this morning, long ago in many times and many ways He spoke through the prophets to our fathers, but now He has spoken to us through His Son, who is the full radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. He is the great supreme purifier. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the majesty on high. Why can He sit down? Because the work's finished. The work's finished. He sat down in the supreme place of authority at the right hand of the majesty on high. He rules and reigns. He intercedes. We're going to get over into it later on in Hebrews, but today I want you to leave with here with these three truths. He is a supreme prophet. He is a supreme ruler. And He's a supreme purifier. There is salvation in no other name under heaven but Jesus Christ our Lord. The writer of Hebrews is going to expose it over the next however long it takes. There was speculation this morning in our men's breakfast. I can just tell you it's going to be a while. Because the letter of Hebrews magnifies the name of Christ. And as believers in Jesus, we should rejoice at these wonderful truths. He is greater than all things. He is preeminent over all creation. And His work is finished in salvation. I ask you again, do you walk in the light? Have you seen the radiance of the glory of God in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him as Savior? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this morning. And simplicity of Your word and the revealing of Christ Jesus. Lord, I ask You that You help. You help us to think on the magnificent that is Christ Jesus. As our writer will get into, He's greater than any angel we could ever imagine. He's greater than any king that we could ever ask for. He's more sufficient as a Savior than anything ever could have been. He's our King, our Lord, our Savior. He's our shelter, our hope. His He's given us a message that is clear. And He's provided a salvation that is complete. Because He is the supreme Savior. Lord, help us to worship Him today. Help us to worship You today. Help us to sing Your praises. Help us to glorify Your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.